Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts. And today it is my pleasure to have back as a return offender to the podcast, Nick Gaylord. Let me tell you a little bit about Nick. Nick's always been driven by a desire to help others, and this stemmed from his youth. As a child, his natural talent for numbers had him convinced he would become a math teacher. While life took him down a different path, spending nearly three decades in the pharmaceutical industry, working in quality assurance and document control, his passion for making a meaningful impact never wavered. Yet something always felt missing. No matter how important his work was in helping develop life-changing medicines, Nick longed for something more, something deeper, something that allowed him to connect with people in a way that truly mattered. And that ultimate search for meaning led him to podcasting. And I'm going to leave it there for now because we're going to get more into your podcasting journey. But Nick, welcome back to the Teaching Journeys podcast. I have been excited about our return engagement for quite some time now.
Dave, thank you so much for having me. It is so good to see your beautiful face again. I've really been looking forward to this. This has been a long time coming. We have had our side conversations. We do it every couple months or so, and I know that we will continue doing it. But yeah, this is a day that I have been looking forward to for quite a while, and it is an honor and a privilege to be back here. And thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're welcome, man. Nick was on, for my audience, Nick was the 138th episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast, and we talked about the importance of really creating safe spaces for grief, which you have done so well on your Our Dead Dads podcast, is creating that space. I was a guest where I initially shared my story, and it was just a marvelous platform where I just felt that I could share anything about my journey. It wasn't going to be judged. It was going to be simply understood. My biggest tragedy was the transition of my daughter, Janine, to a new existence over 22 years ago. The appreciation never wanes for individuals who create that kind of safe space, and that never gets old for me. So thank you for that, Nick.
Dave, it's absolutely my pleasure. I have loved having all of the conversations that I've had with all of my guests, many of whom have become friends, to hear about their loss and their grief and their stories and their journeys, and to be able to hold space for each and every one of them, yourself included. And as you mentioned, yes, you have been on my podcast before. It has been Our Dead Dads since the inception. It is now transitioning into, it is evolving into Grief Is Not a Dirty Word. Originally, you were on episode number 39, so anybody who would like to go back and listen to Dave's original interview, feel free to go back through the archives and find episode number 39 of Our Dead Dads podcast, and you will get to hear our original conversation. And yeah, I'm thrilled to be doing this again. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to hold space for everybody who gives me that privilege. And it really is a privilege to be able to hold space for someone regardless of what their journey is. And that's something that a lot of people don't fully understand. It's a gift, it is a privilege, and it's not something that everybody can do. And it's something that I guess has kind of come fairly easy to me over the years, even long before I really knew that I was doing it, long before the podcast had ever started. And now I'm almost 2 years into this podcast journey, and I'm just so fortunate to be able to have a platform where anybody can come and speak about what they've been through.
Yeah, and I think that's important. And I know we've talked about this before, is that I think our job as podcasters is to create that safe space. It's not to judge anybody's path that they take after tragedy or other life-altering loss. It's a matter of understanding it, creating a space where their story can be genuinely reflected and genuinely represented. And if we can do that, we've made our mark in the podcasting community and beyond.
You're absolutely right. Couldn't agree more.
Now, I know you've talked about rebranding our Dead Dads podcast into Grief Is Not a Dirty Word podcast. First of all, I talk about why you're evolving, why you're rebranding at this point, what are the contributing factors. And also, I kind of want to backtrack a little bit, talking about the challenges that you had had with your father growing up that kind of led you to this point where you're doing podcasting and, you know, with Our Dead Dads and the eventual rebrand. So
absolutely.
Get into all of that, and I'm just going to button my mouth up for now and just let you talk.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Dave. Yeah, here we go. So for anybody who is not familiar with me or with my podcast, and if you want the full story, you can go listen to the first few episodes of Our Dead Dads and you'll get all the details, all the juicy nuggets. Basically, I had a complicated is the word that I've used the most to describe the relationship with my dad. I am the oldest of his seven children. My dad was married and divorced five times. So of course, anybody who's going to be married and divorced five times, things are going to be a little bit complicated at best. As I said, I'm the oldest. My youngest sibling, my youngest sister, is 17 and a half years younger than me, which means she was born when I was about 3 months away from graduating high school. We went through a lot of stuff over the years. He was one of those people that I like to refer to on my show as 1% accountability and 99% BS. He was one of those people that he never took accountability for anything. Everything that happened that was negative in his life, he blamed somebody else. He blamed his children. He blamed his ex-wives. He blamed his current wife, who was my stepmother, his fifth and final wife. He blamed coworkers. He would blame his bosses. He would blame the president of the United States or other local elected officials. He just had no desire to hold himself accountable for the decisions that led him down the path that he was on. And it didn't have to be that way. I don't really understand a lot of the workings of his brain, and I probably never will, but he made the choices that he made. We went through a lot of issues. We went through a lot of turmoil in our lives as father and son. And I also want to say that there were good times too. And I've been adamant about putting that out there on the podcast. It was not all bad. It was probably more not good than good. We went through several times in our relationship where there were months that we didn't talk. The first one was my Eagle Scout ceremony. I was in Boy Scouts growing up when I was 17, about 17 and a half. Probably it was about 2 months after my younger sister was born. I had made Eagle Scout, which is the highest rank in scouting. I had my Court of Honor, which is basically just a fancy way of saying award ceremony, but Eagle Scout is a little bit bigger deal. You can invite local dignitaries, state dignitaries, whoever you want, basically, and they'll either show up or they won't. But I had a lot of people that were there that were gracious enough to take time out of their day. And it was a 3-hour ceremony. There were some other things involved in the ceremony. And at the end, I had to give a speech to just basically thank everybody. I thanked everybody, my mom, my grandparents, my fellow troop mates, my leaders, everybody, except for my dad. And the reason I did not include my dad is because he never supported me through Boy Scouts, ever. It was always an inconvenience, especially if, now I should also preface by saying that my parents have been divorced since I was about 2. So I always grew up living with my mom and seeing my dad on the weekends. That's all I've ever known. Anytime that there was a Boy Scout camp out that fell on his weekend, my mom always tried to do the right thing. And we would go over to his house the weekend before and the weekend after. So he wasn't losing time. He was probably getting extra time, if anything. But again, it was all about him, and it was getting in the way of his weekends and his schedules, and well, I mean, deal with it. What can I say? But he didn't want to deal with it, so he would just bitch and moan. The Eagle Scout Award ceremony was the first time he showed up with the scouting. But again, I didn't thank him because he was never there. One of the things during the Eagle Scout process, during the project process, the service project, I did two fundraisers. One of them was a soda can and bottle drive. And this was 1993, so soda cans were a little bit more of a bigger thing. I don't know if people still recycle those, but, you know, take them to the supermarket, redeem them in the machine, and get the money. And everybody in the troop, the scouts, the families were bringing their cans and I would redeem them. And that was the money that was going toward the service project. The man drank Coca-Cola like it was going out of style. And I asked him, just save your Coke cans. He never did. Not once. And he never gave me any money for it either. So again, he wasn't interested. I didn't see any reason to thank him. When the ceremony was over, he was not happy. He was the first one out of, it was at my high school. It was the first one out of the auditorium. And then when I saw him the next weekend, he just basically gave me the cold shoulder. He was pissy with me and said his biggest issue was that at that ceremony, nobody knew I had a father. And I said, well, Dad, for 8 years in scouting, no one knew I had a father either. You never showed up for anything. So you're not going to get credit when you don't deserve it. Now, I was, like I said, I was 17 at this point. This was probably the first time that I was really standing up to my dad. The day kind of escalated later on, and he at some point said, you know, whatever, we just got into it verbally. And he said, when you leave today, I don't ever want to see your ass in my house again. Fine with me. And didn't see him for about 3 months. But of course, I had younger siblings at the time, so I didn't see them either because I don't have a car at that point. Finally, right before I left, called my stepmother and I said, I really miss you guys. Can you please bring the kids over? I want to see everybody before I go to school. She brought him over. Of course, she gave me an envelope with some money that she said was for my dad. I know it was entirely her. My stepmother is an amazing woman. She is truly a saint. She facilitated the conversation, just getting me to, you know, kind of talk with my dad again. And I had to call him and thank him because, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. I knew it was all her, but we just danced around the conversation for a little bit, but you know, we got back to talking again. And that was my first exposure of realizing that this is probably what it's going to be like for the rest of my life dealing with him. There's going to be some crap that comes up and I'm just going to have to accept that this is how he is. And I can either do it or not, but he's not going to change. So again, we were fine for a while. There were several other instances. Probably the biggest one was my wedding. He did not come to the wedding. Swore up and down that he would. And then last minute, I'm sick. He claims he was sick. I probably didn't talk to him for about a year after that because I just, it meant so little to him to just accept that he's not going to be in the spotlight for one day, for 1 hour. I didn't want a gift. I didn't want anything. We had the tux ready for him. We had transportation ready for him. And he for whatever reason, he claimed, you know, he was embarrassed about his physical condition. I don't care. Deal with it. Get over it. It's not about you on that day. You know, for one of the very few times in my life, I'm going to say it was about me. And he couldn't handle that. So again, I just had no use for talking to him for a long time. It was close to a year. His health, you know, back and forth, you know, talking and not talking over the years, his health deteriorated a lot. In late 2020, he, not because of COVID, but just because of physical issues, he was in and out of the hospital probably a dozen times that year. And the last time that he went, his doctor said, John, you can't live by yourself anymore. You can't take care of yourself. He couldn't make it to the bathroom. He could barely walk. He needed a hip replacement that he wouldn't get. He had every physical ailment going on. He could barely move. And ultimately, we had to put him into a long-term care facility, which he was completely against. But the only other options were private care, which is a fortune, and anybody knows that. Or he was going to have to live with one of us and take care of him. Now, my wife and I were living in Texas by this point, and he had actually asked me about moving to Texas, and I said, not in your life. My other three brothers and my sister, they all have their own lives, and it wasn't an option. And you know, I wasn't going to become a 24-hour caretaker for the man that never did a thing for me. It was literally a 24-hour job. I'm working. Everybody's working. Not possible. So he went into a facility. He ended up passing in May of 2021. And I had made a deal with myself a long time ago that even through all the crap I dealt with him, I was going to be there. I wasn't, you know, even if I needed to not talk to him for a while, I was never going to abandon him. I always knew that he needed us more than we needed him. That's just the way it was. It's not meant to sound harsh. It's the simple truth. And that's for me, my three brothers, my sister, my youngest sister. And I know that I am the oldest of seven. I have three sisters, three half-sisters. One I have zero contact with, my choice. And one, she does not wish to be part of mentioned in the podcast for privacy reasons, and that's totally fine. But again, basically, it's me, my three younger brothers, and my youngest sister. Those are the five main ones who are dealing with my dad. When he passed, I pretty quickly got to a point of, I'm fine. I'm good. It is what it is. Time to move on. Because, of course, that's what we all do when we don't want to face a problem head on. Now, this is about 4.5 years ago, and what I've reflected about in my podcast, and I think I've done it on your interviewing on your show and to many others, is I didn't really understand what grief was about at that point. Again, we were taught to bury it. We were taught to just not deal with it, move on, because it's not going to change. So that's what we do, especially men. That's just what we do. And probably about 4 or 5 months later, I started realizing I was still very angry with him. I had a lot of unprocessed anger toward him, and I didn't know why. I didn't know what to do with it. And ultimately, I ended up starting to see a therapist and spent 6 months on that journey, and it was life-changing. I got to a point 6 months later where I was able to release the anger toward him. I was able to forgive him for who he was. I was able to forgive him for who he wasn't, for who his children and his ex-wives and pretty much everybody in his life needed him to be, but he just never could be. He didn't have the capacity. I was able to forgive him for that. I was able to forgive myself for being so angry. And as I said, I'm just let go of all of the anger. I've never since then, since therapy ended, have never spent a day angry at him. And I never will again. Partially because I know that nothing will change, but also I've been able to learn so much in my healing journey to understand that all of the feelings are valid and they are relevant and they all have a place, but it doesn't have to be ingrained in anger. You can understand that something is what it is, and this was the relationship, and I've said many times, if the man had lived another 25 years, nothing would have changed. It's just who he was. And it's sad, but I'm not trying to dismiss it. I'm not trying to justify anything. I'm just saying I wanted a better relationship with him. We all did. He just wasn't able to be the father that we wanted him to be and needed him to be. So this was his existence and this was his life. And I still love him and I always will. And he's my dad. But it's just sad that that was who and what he was. So got through the therapy, and I never want to say finish because like, I don't look at therapy as a finish line. I don't any longer have weekly therapy sessions, but what I've also realized is the podcast journey that I've been on is basically been an extension, a continuation of my therapy journey. I recognize that. And I'm so appreciative for that. At the beginning of 2024, January 1st, 2024, I found myself unemployed for the first time, probably since I had started working. As you said, I've worked in pharma, biotech, medical device for about 30 years. I had been on a 2-year contract with a company, which ended on December 31st, 2023. I had been looking for jobs, but nothing had come up. I started 24 off unemployed. I ended up finding a job at the end of March of that year, but for 3 months, I was not working. And of course, during time spent reaching out to recruiters, putting in resumes all over the place, I needed something to keep myself busy. A friend of mine at the time was getting ready to start her own podcast, completely unrelated topic. And she's like, you should start a podcast. I'm like, what the hell am I going to talk? Who wants to listen to me talk about anything? And she's like, just think about it. So of course I think about it and I pretty quickly decide I want to start a podcast and I want it to be about grief. I wanted to base it on my journey through grief, through loss, through therapy, and probably dozens of other conversations that I had had over the years that really hadn't even surfaced in my mind until this period of, you know, kind of critical thinking. So many people over the years would just come up to me, coworkers, friends, strangers sometimes, be like, hey, I know you don't know what's going on, but I just kind of need to get some stuff off my chest. Can we go talk for a few minutes? Like, yeah, of course. And it would be whether it was dealing with loss or dealing with family tragedy or just drama about something, and they just needed to talk. And I seemed to be the perfect sounding board without even realizing it. So thinking about all this, I realized I am capable of holding space for probably any kind of a conversation. And so I really dug into the world of grief and tried to start exploring what a podcast would look like. I came up with Our Dead Dads podcast. Now, Our Dead Dads is kind of a joke between myself, my three younger brothers, and three really close friends that I've known since junior high school. The seven of us have always been a tight group. At some point, we realized all of our dads are dead. And so we always, as we've done for our entire lives, use dark humor and sarcasm to get through any situation we deal with. And so when I decided to start the podcast, since it was going to be largely based on my personal journey, I decided, let's name it Our Dead Dads. It was something that wasn't used. It was kind of catchy. It had a good hook. And so I did that. And so the podcast, I started doing interviews probably late February, early March of 2024, officially launched in June. And I've done more than 60 interviews that I've dropped, that I've released onto the podcast. And I've had some incredible guests. I have had, to name a few, I've had you, for starters. You were episode 39, and what an incredible interview we had. We were talking about Janine, talking about her transition, talking about your overall journey with losing her and grief and healing. And that was such a powerful conversation. And seriously, anybody, if you haven't already, if you want to go, once again, go back and listen to Dave's interview with me. It was episode 39 and one of the best interviews I've done. I've interviewed other guests such as Gabby Petito's parents, Nikki and Jim Schmidt, her mom and bonus dad, and Joe and Tara Petito, her dad and bonus mom. Gabby basically always grew up with four parents. If anybody doesn't know the story about Gabby Petito, I'd like to know what rock you're living under. Pretty much everybody knows at this point. My wife and I live in Tampa, Florida, and her parents live pretty much on the other side of Tampa. And I was fortunate enough to come across them, and we met through TikTok and reached out one day and said, hey, this is what I do. I know all about the story. I'm originally from New York. I would love to talk to you guys. Would you be up for it? And they said 100%. They were in. So we did the interviews. Kim and I have become really close friends with them. I have spent a lot of time helping with the foundation. This past June, I was up in New York for an event for the foundation. There was a golf event in New York on Long Island, which I participated in. I actually did a live broadcast of the podcast from there. We played golf, we drank, we had a typical fun day, but I've done a lot of work for them. With that, I also had a big 5K event in September, and I had actually started. You were able to either walk in person or you could walk virtually. And I ended up starting earlier than most other people. And I walked the entire month of August up through September 20th, did 51 straight days of walking a 5K every day, posted videos on TikTok, on Facebook, on Instagram, just to try to get more people involved, and did get quite a few people involved and signed up, and also walking early, and just ways to support what the work that they're doing for missing persons, for trying to end domestic violence. They're just four phenomenal people. And the work they're doing for domestic violence and advocating for missing persons is so desperately needed. They're working not just in Florida or New York. They're working across the country. They have had laws passed. They're getting the job done. And there's always work to be done, but they're doing so much. And I love them all. And they're amazing people. I have spoken with two parents who lost a child to Sandy Hook. I've spoken with Robbie Parker and Scarlett Lewis. Robbie lost his daughter, Emily, and Scarlett lost her son, Jesse, on December 14th, 2012 at Sandy Hook Elementary. I've had a couple who both lost a young spouse to terminal cancer. And then during their healing journey, they found each other and they have kind of merged their families. They both actively honor each of their spouses. It's part of their journey. They're helping others to deal with the grief that they're going through. And so many more guests. I've just been so lucky with everybody that has been part of this podcast up to this point. Then we get to about August of this year. And I had been thinking that I wanted to make some minor changes to the podcast. The name Our Dead Dads, while it had a personal hook and a personal meaning to it, I was starting to recognize that there was more and more feedback for new listeners that were finding me that they really didn't quite understand what the podcast was about unless they dug in and listened. Something that I have learned in the last couple of months is, when new people are finding the podcast, they need to know what the podcast is about and who it's for, And they need to be able to get most of that information from the name of the show. Our Dead Dads was not answering those questions. They would see dead dads. And is it about dead dads? Is it dead parents? Is it grief? Is it humor? What is it? So after episode 60, I still have some interviews that I have recorded, which I'm actually in the middle of re-recording a bunch of them that will be relaunched at a later date. I decided it was time for a change. I needed a title that was going to reflect what I was really trying to get out there and be truly representative of the work that I am trying to do. Through some back and forth and some thoughts and some conversations with a really good friend one day, we were talking about, like, she had asked me, what are you trying to do with the podcast? What was the foundation of it? And talked about trying to give people a platform for talking about grief and not feeling awkward about it, not feeling silenced about it, and not being made to feel like grief is a dirty word, because that's the way people treat it all the time. And I just kind of said that, and she said, hang on a second. And this was a phone conversation, and she's like, say that what you just said again. And I said that grief is not a dirty word. And she's like, I think that's your new title. And we thought about it, and it made perfect sense. And it explains everything about the podcast. It is evident right away that this is a grief podcast, but I am also working as part of the rebrand and the relaunch. I am putting out there that this is not, and it was never intended to be, but now I really have the chance to really strongly put this out there. This podcast was never designed to just be about conversations of death. And this is not a doom and gloom podcast. So I am putting out there to everybody that this is for conversations of all kinds of loss. There are plenty of other kinds of loss besides death. There are losses of relationships, of marriages, of friendships, jobs, homes, pets. So many things that we deal with, loss of identity in so many different aspects. Things that a lot of people just are not comfortable talking about. And so that is what this show is about and is truly going to be about. And I believe that this name encompasses all of it now, because grief is, in fact, not a dirty word. It is not something that should be treated as taboo. It is not something that should be ignored or dismissed ever. It is important. It is valid. And everybody deserves to have a voice. So the full circle, grief is not a dirty word, is relaunching. The relaunch date is Tuesday, December 2nd. I will continue to release episodes every Tuesday, as I have been with Our Dead Dads. All of the original Our Dead Dads episodes are still going to be available. The new website is griefisnotadirtyword.com. The episode history will still have all the original Our Dead Dads interviews, plus all of the new interviews that I will be releasing. And I've got some incredible interviews coming up. Just to name a few, I've got an interview now with you. We have already recorded our next interview. I have an interview coming up with Shannon Allman, who is the widow of Greg Allman of the Allman Brothers Band. She and I have gotten to know each other very well over the last several months. We've talked a lot, and she's got an incredible grief story to share, and she will be sharing it once the interview is released. I have an interview coming up with Heather Locklear, who I actually met through Gabby's parents. I met her at the foundation event in New York in June. She was there. I met her as she was getting ready to leave. She asked what I was doing. She saw the setup, and I said, I'm broadcasting, doing live. I have a podcast. Told her what it was about, and she's like, oh my God, I lost my dad a year ago. And of course, do you want to have a conversation? Do you want to do an interview? And she's like, 100%, absolutely. So Nikki and Jim passed along my email address, and we just started talking from there, and led to a lot of phone conversations, because Heather doesn't really like doing email. So one day she's just emailed me. She's like, just here's my phone number. Just call me, because I hate emails. We did that. And so, yes, the fun part about that is I have Heather Locklear's phone number in my phone, and no, nobody's going to get it. She is a riot. We've had a lot of fun conversations. She's a really good person. She's got a huge heart. She's hysterical. She's so funny. We've bonded over dark humor memes and exchanging pictures of our my cat and her dog. We've had a blast, and that's going to be a hell of an interview. I've got so many more interviews scheduled. And at this point, my calendar is filling up. I'm already scheduling interviews for February. As you and I are talking, it's mid-October. So I've got a lot of interviews recorded. The calendar is already out till February. And by the time this releases, it'll probably be further than that. This podcast means so much to me. The work that I'm doing, I'm not trying to do this to become famous. I certainly hope that the podcast does pick up a lot more steam than it has in the past. And I'm so grateful for all of the listeners that I've already had. At current time, this podcast has been heard in 64 countries, and I think that's a great start. The truth of the matter is there are over 200 countries on this planet, and I want to touch every single country before this is all said and done. And it won't be all said and done for a very long time, as far as I'm concerned, because there are people who deal with grief and loss everywhere. I've interviewed people in seven different countries at this point, and the work that I'm doing is some of the most meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. This really is what I've been looking for my entire life. I never went to school to do this. I never set out to do this. I start a podcast at 48 because I've always had the desire to help people. And it's finally growing into what I've wanted this podcast to be from the beginning. Yeah. I'm so proud of the work that I'm doing. I'm so honored to have been able to have everyone that I've had so far, the interviews that I've already done that have not yet been published, the guests whose interviews are coming up. It's an incredible journey. I'm also going to be, for the first time ever, I'm going to finally have my first public speaking engagement at PodFest 2026 in Orlando in January of 2026. And for anybody who doesn't know what PodFest is, it's kind of essentially Comic-Con for podcasters. There are many different locations of PodFest throughout the country. I think there might even be some international locations. And I applied to be a speaker and my application was accepted. And so I'm thrilled about that. And there's also the possibility, depending on if there's time, one of the organizers of the event has said that she wants to put a panel together for discussion of grief and trauma with some specific areas, and she asked if I would want to be part of that. So I went from not even being a part of PodFest to now I definitely have one speaking engagement lined up, and there might be a second one. And needless to say, I'm very nervous because it's very different from talking on a microphone and on a screen like this to standing in front of I don't know how many people. All I know is this is the way to get the word out there. This is the way to grow the show through exposure. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not trying to be famous. I'm not trying to be Joe Rogan or Dax Shepard or anybody like that. But I am trying to grow the podcast as far and wide as I possibly can, because I know that the bigger it gets, the more people I can help. And I'm just so excited to see what 2026 has in store for Grief Is Not a Dirty Word.
Yeah, and it's grown the message. It's not grown the person. It's grown the message behind the podcast. It's grown the message behind the person.
The message and the community, because this is not just a podcast. This is a community where all are welcome. Nobody is excluded. Everybody is welcome and everybody's encouraged.
And, you know, just listening, and thank you for being vulnerable enough to share all aspects of your journey with your father. As you know, the podcast that we just, my return engagement with yours, we talked a lot about the history of the ambivalent or the lack of a relationship I had with my father. And there's so many parallels in our stories, albeit the circumstances are different, but yeah, we both found ways to transcend it. And I take a look at, for me, if that were just reflecting back, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think for me, I think if that were my story, the biggest key for me would be accepting the fact that my father is who he is. I can't change that. All the love in the world I can show him isn't going to change who he is. Right. So I need to accept that, and I need to live my life as best as I can. The insight that you had that, you know, this anger is not going to go away. It's not going away. I need therapy. Right. You found the benefits from therapy. So your early childhood journey, plus I think your intention as a child, whether it was silently stated or explicitly stated, that you wanted to do more, you wanted to be of service. Paulo Coelho wrote The Alchemist, something to the effect that when we state our intention, to the universe conspires to find a way to make sure we get it. And
right.
intention was the impetus for action and manifestation of the reality that you wanted. Now it's led to some really great opportunities. You know, as you were talking about Gabby Petito and her parents and the Gabby Petito Foundation, I followed her story very closely because, you know, being from upstate New York and them being, I know, from the Long Island area, I followed it. And as a parent who's experienced the death of a child, I didn't know the family,
right.
but I was right there with them because I know exactly what a world of hurt I was in when my daughter got sick and transitioned Gabby's death, or cause of death had its own unique circumstances. But I was right there with them, bonding around the pain of losing a child.
Yes.
And I also think, I saw your 5K runs. I saw your post. I saw what you're doing to help the Gabby Petito Foundation and align with that. But it's just another extension of service due to our own challenges and joys that we found with podcasting. So I think your journey is a testament to the fact that even the worst of circumstances can yield blessings as a result of the challenges that allow us to find our greatest purpose, allow us to continue to be of service, and to turn into the most compassionate, engaged, and present human beings possible because of our own tragedy. So I think all of that that you've shared just illustrates that, which is why we are colleagues and friends.
100%. I couldn't agree more. And thank you for all of that. And, you know, regarding your story with your dad, yes, there are a lot of parallels, even though our relationships with our dads were different in the sense of, you know, I had my dad for the first 45 years of my life. You only had your dad for the first 5 years of your life. One of the similarities is we both recognized that they were the persons that they were. Mm-hmm. And we also were both able to get to a point of finding acceptance and forgiveness. And how a lot of times in society growing up, we were just taught, just move on, just deal with it because it's not going to change. So just figure it out. Just because something isn't going to change, like, yes, your dad left and he never came back. My dad was the person he was, and he was never going to change. Should you just accept it and move on? Quite honestly, no, you shouldn't. It's not that simple. If it were that simple, then everybody would do it. And you and I both know that it isn't that easy.
No.
What we should do is find a way to properly honor everything that we've been through, even if it was a bad situation. Your situation was not great. My situation was not great. Are there people that had it way worse than we did? Of course there are. But grief isn't a pissing contest. It's not a comparison. It can't ever, ever, ever be a comparison. Because your story is different than mine. Mine is different than the dozens of people that I've talked to. And your story is different than the almost 200 people that you've talked to on your podcast. It isn't about who had it worse. It's about, we all have been through some crap. So let's honor that. Let's validate that. And let's hear each other. Let's talk about what we've been through for ourselves, for the sake of our own healing, but also to give others the space who may not realize that there are other people that have been through what they've been through. Give them the chance to recognize that they're not alone. And hold space for anybody who needs to have a conversation. Because again, if we knew how to just figure it out and move on, well, then we would. But it's not that simple. You know it, I know it. Everybody who's ever dealt with grief knows it. So that's why I've got this platform, because these are conversations that need to be heard, and they deserve to be heard, and they deserve to be put out there. It's all based on if somebody's willing to talk. We can't force somebody to have a conversation, but what we can do is hold space for them and provide the opportunity to have a conversation and just talk about the ways that we've all individually dealt with it. And at the end of it, try to come up with a list of some of the better ways that we've dealt with, maybe even talk about some of the wrong things, or maybe whether it's wrong or less effective. Just talk about it and give everybody the chance to realize they're not alone.
That's what this is about. You're right. And acceptance doesn't mean you've moved on. Acceptance means is you've accepted that this is my life, the way it is now. In accepting that these are the things that happen, these are the things that I can't change, but I'm willing to re-engage in life regardless of that and move forward and live the best life of service to others and meaning that I can live in the time that I have left. And the other thing is you were talking about this, about the acceptance piece, has brought up something based on a meme that I saw on Facebook that really resonated with me. Something to the effect that healing doesn't mean that the damage didn't exist. Right. Healing means the damage no longer controls you, that it no longer controls you. And that's the piece with healing. We're always going to be in an ever, ever, I think, evolving state of healing. But what has happened to us doesn't define our narrative. It informs it. It defines who we are as a result of the challenges, but it isn't who we are.
It isn't who we are. And listen, before I started my journey through therapy, if you had told me at the very beginning of it, 6 months from now, I will find the way to forgive my dad for what he put all of us through, for being the miserable person that he was for most of his life, I would have laughed. I would have laughed really hard. But I did. And I did that because, similar to my professional career, and I say this a lot with a lot of the bosses, the people who have become mentors to me in the professional world, they have helped me become who I am because they saw something in me and chose to invest their time and their efforts in making me a better person. The same happened with my therapist. She, yes, I understand that it was her job and I'm paying her and all that, but she could have said, yeah, this guy, he's not willing to do the work. Or I also could have been unwilling to do the work. Yeah. I was willing to do the work. And I recognized very quickly that if we're going to be doing this, I need to be open and honest about anything she's going to ask. I need to do this for myself as much, you know, more for myself than anybody, but I need to do this effectively for her. Otherwise she can't help me. And I did. And that's the biggest thing. Communication is so important. It's just starting the conversation. That is the biggest common denominator of everybody over the years before the podcast that ever came up to me. They said, hey, can we just talk for a few minutes? I've got some stuff I need to talk about.
Yeah.
Most of them were unwilling to talk to anybody before. And finally just something cracked and they needed to talk. And I guess I was there and I was a good influence or whatever. And I provided that space. And every single person that I ever had one of those conversations with always at the end of it said, thank you so much. I'm so glad we had this conversation. I really needed that. And it led to whatever it led to afterwards. But that's what this is about, just helping people.
Yeah. And the greatest gift we can give to each other is our stories.
Absolutely. And also the greatest investment that we can make in life is ourself.
Absolutely.
There is no better investment that any of us will ever be able to make. It's not money. It's not Amazon stock or Bitcoin or whatever that people are saying, do this and do this. The number one investment that you can and will ever make in your life is your life.
Yeah. Well, we could probably go on for about another hour or so, huh?
I'm sure we probably could.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about everything other non-sports related, of course. That's another that's another issue, but
right, exactly.
One of the last questions I want to ask you, and this is a little something a little different for you, based on a conversation that we had pre-recording.
Yeah.
I want you to fantasize for a bit. Give me your dream guest list for people you would want to have on the Grief Isn't a Dirty Word. Besides me, of course.
Oh, of course. I mean, well, look, my dream has already come true because I've had you on my podcast not once, but twice. So, I mean, geez, that exceeds dream come true.
Sucking up to the host is always a good thing, especially if you ever want to see this release. So now anyway, seriously, let's get back to seriousness for a minute.
Sure.
Dream guest list. Yeah. Who would you want to see as your dream guest list And the not a dirty word podcast.
So we're talking probably people that are more than likely never going to be able to be on this show just because they're probably untouchable. But you want a dream list? I'll give you a dream list. Probably the first one is Dax Shepard, host of Armchair Expert podcast. I have been listening to his podcast for probably about 5 years. Kim started listening to it probably a year before I did. And then when we were in Texas, the second of the two jobs that I had there, the first one was like an 8-minute commute. The second one was an 85-mile each way commute. So I had a lot of time in the car every day, and I needed to start listening to the podcast. And there were a couple of others that I listened to, but I really got into Armchair Expert. He has been through the ringer in life. He's been so open about his story and his journey with grief, what he's been through with his dad. He's been honest about sexual abuse and molestation that he went through as a child. His journey through addiction. He's been a huge inspiration for me as a podcaster and just as someone to be open and honest in life. Obviously, Howard Stern. I started listening to him a long time ago, probably in high school and definitely in college and beyond, the king of all media. He's also another one who's been through the ringer with his parents. He was very honest for years about some difficulties with his relationship with his dad early on. I would love to. I mean, I know that he may be getting close to retiring. Not sure. I haven't heard the new contract yet, but I would love the chance to talk to him. Drew Barrymore is another one. Always been a fan of hers from an actor perspective. I love the Drew Barrymore show. She's been through it. There's a well-documented history of what she went through with her dad and some stuff with her mom. Another one that we'll get into, the sports world, from the world of professional wrestling. Cody Rhodes is one of my favorite wrestlers ever. His father, Dusty Rhodes, one of my favorite wrestlers growing up. I've been watching wrestling since 1982, long before Hulk Hogan was ever the champion for the first time. That's how far back I go, almost my entire life. And I have my dad to thank for that. Dusty Rhodes, The American Dream. He passed in, I think it was somewhere around 2015 or 2016. When he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, his two sons, Dustin Runnels and Cody Rhodes, inducted him in. And I just knew, Dustin had been a wrestler for a long time. Cody was really getting into the scene. Cody's a lot younger than Dustin is. And I just knew this guy's going to be something. And just the athlete, the entertainer, the human being that he is. I would love to talk to Cody about his relationship with Dusty, with his dad, just to really dive into that story. Anderson Cooper is a big one. He's got his own podcast and a tremendous grief story as well. Billy Bob Thornton has been very public about the grief that he's experienced ever since losing his brother. He has a video clip plays over and over in my head about how he has said that he is 50% happy and 50% sad on any given day. He just basically lives in a constant state of melancholy ever since losing his brother. Billy Joel, my favorite all-time singer ever. He has been through the ringer as well. And the new documentary that came out a few months ago, there was a lot of stuff that was revealed about his relationship with his dad. That's where the foundation of the song Vienna kind of came from. If you're at all interested, look at the new Billy Joel documentary and watch that. It's so powerful, so entertaining, and also just heartbreaking in so many ways. I would love to get a conversation with Billy. Plus, we're both Long Island boys.
Yeah.
So I would love that. Oprah Winfrey is another big one. Her story is so well documented, what she's been through and the abuse that she went through as a child and just the incredible humanitarian that she is. Would love to talk with her about her story. And probably the all-time will never, ever, ever happen, not likely, guest is Barack Obama. Talking about his story with both of his parents. I mean, he barely knew his dad, losing his mom. I would love to get some conversation about his family history and his grief journey. And also just what it was like. I'm sure there was a certain amount of grief that went along with being an elected official and being the president. Mm-hmm. And he joked that he would have had more if he could have run for another term, or if I think he had said if he ran as Joe Biden's running mate, he probably would have been divorced.
Probably,
Michelle would not have put up with that. Barack Obama has been through a lot, and I would love to have a conversation with him. There are definitely others, but I think that's probably the biggest names on my list. So of course, if anybody out there has any connections or all any way to get this conversation in front of anyone, just put the word out there. Obviously, yes, that is my dream wish list, but my bigger dream is to be here and be a sounding board, be a voice for anybody who has a story to share, anybody who is willing to put themselves out there and make themselves vulnerable. This isn't just a big name podcast. This is for everybody.
Yep.
It's all about helping as many people as I can. And yet, as I've said before, and I will say again, I want the podcast to grow as far and wide as possible, not because I want to be famous, because I promise you, I'm not looking for the fame. And also, my wife has said many times, she has zero desire to ever be famous. And that's why she runs her travel company, so she can stay completely behind the scenes. But she also knows the work I'm trying to do. And I know that the more this podcast grows, the wider the exposure, the more people that will listen and will continue to tell people, and the more people that we can help through this platform. Because everybody deserves the chance to have their story heard if they so desire. And I hope that I am doing this for a very long time, because the longer I'm doing it, the more people I can help.
I can speak for myself is that I hope you end up doing this for a very long time too. So Nick, my final question is for people who want to get in touch with you, again, follow your new rebranded podcast, Grief is Not a Dirty Word. What's the best way for them to do that?
You can find the podcast on pretty much all of the big listening platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon Music, Pandora. There's several other ones. I don't remember all of them off the top of my head right now, but basically just go to Google and search for Grief is Not a Dirty Word, or you can go into Apple, Spotify, any of the platforms, just search for Grief is Not a Dirty Word and it will come up. Follow the podcast, give me a 5-star rating, leave me a review. You can say anything. You can say, I love what he's doing, or whatever you want to say. Those reviews, those 5-star ratings help me to be found by more people who are looking for a new podcast. And you can go to griefisnotadirtyword.com. If you have a story that you would like to share, possibly to be on the podcast, there is a guest form in the contact link up at the top of the page. You can fill that out and your contact form will go right to me. I will review your story and more than likely we'll be reaching out and we'll have an introduction conversation. And as long as we're both aligned as far as telling the story and getting it out there, then it will lead to an interview. Depending on how busy it gets, I am still a one-man show. I don't have a production team or an assistant or anything like that. So if it takes me a minute to get to you, I do apologize, but please just bear with me. I will get to you. That's really it. Just either search through Google or any of the podcast platforms for Grief is Not a Dirty Word. The website is griefisnotadirtyword.com. And again, all of the back episodes of Our Dead Dads are still available on the website. And then if you haven't started yet, I highly encourage you to at least check out from the beginning so you can hear my story and start from whatever point is best for you. But the most important thing is if you do listen to this interview, if you listen to Dave's interview, if you listen to anything, if you know somebody who you think this podcast will resonate with, please share the podcast. Share it on your social media pages. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers, tell the world about it. Because I am truly on a mission to change the world. And that's only going to happen through the help of my listeners.
Absolutely. Nick, thank you so much for another great conversation. I look forward to doing this again in the future.
Me too, Dave. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for being a 2-time guest on my podcast. Your friendship means so much to me, and I'm so grateful for it. And I can't wait to see where things go for the teaching journeys and for Grief is Not a Dirty Word. And I'm so glad that we're in it together.
Me too. Me too.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Nick. And with that, that's a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.